content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the Sierra Club website, Catster.com, and Dogster Magazine. On today's program, we'll start with an article from the SierraClub.org titled, How to Minimize Your Pet's Carbon Footprint by Katie O'Reilly. Welcome to the era of calculating Sparky's CO2 emissions. Our pets help us connect to nature. By sharing our lives with these once wild creatures, we get more in tune with the natural world. The social and emotional sustenance we get from them makes us better Earth citizens. Well, we've entered a new era. Let's call it the, quote, calculating Sparky's CO2 emissions, end quote, phase. According to one researcher, just feeding the cats and dogs of North America emits up to 64 million tons of greenhouse gases a year. Factor in all the indirect emissions, transportation to and from the vet, the plastic palooza that is a big box pet store, plus all that poop, and things start to look rough. Happily, though, the same principles that help you live more sustainably also apply to Fluffy and Fido. What's good for the environment is also good for your pet. No compromises or tasty treats necessary. Getting a pet. First off, adopt, don't shop. Millions of animals are available from shelters and rescue operations, which, unlike breeders, spay and neuter their wards, reducing overpopulation. You don't need to limit yourself to a dog or a cat. Some shelters house herbivores like rabbits, rodents, goats, and reptiles. Did you know some are vegan? That would love to move in with you. Feeding your new best friend. The bulk of pets' carbon paw print stems from their diet. If Americans, 163 million dogs and cats, started their own country, Fluffistan would rank fifth in global meat consumption. As more people consider their pets members of the family, the pampering and sustenance industries are responding with premium products, which is both good and bad. On the one hand, your local pet store probably carries food made with organic, sustainably farmed, perhaps even plant-based ingredients. On the other hand, people's decision to spring for human-grade pet food is a morally questionable choice in a country where more than 10% of the population is food insecure. The truth is, pets aren't picky. They're fine with snout-to-tail consumptions. Seek out green pet food, Royal Canin, and other food brands that incorporate rendered byproducts. Try treats from Chippin', made from delicious low-impact crickets. Ask your local pet store about brands that participate in recycling programs such as Tetra Pak. Home-cooked meals for the win. The internet abounds with recipes for sustainable pet food, but talk to your vet first about your pet's specific nutritional needs. Veterinary scientist Jordan Scholl recommends prioritizing meats with the lowest carbon footprint, like chicken. You'll want to mix up equal parts of unseasoned protein, try sourcing from local farmers or butchers who have unpopular cuts and offal, raw veggies and root veggies like sweet potato and pumpkin. Save money on treats by freezing bits of bulk peanut butter or dehydrating food scraps like sweet potato peels. No matter the grub, don't overfeed your pets. Plant-based pooches. Cats are obligate carnivores that require sulfur-rich amino acids like taurine at levels typically available only in meat-based diets. But contrary to their carnivorous wolf-descendant reputation, most dogs are good candidates for flexitarianism, if not veganism. Caroline Buck, co-founder of Petaluma, which makes pet food formulated with protein from peanut butter, chickpeas, and peas, explains that in evolving as scavengers alongside humans, dogs grew accustomed to handling starches and glucose and long ago became omnivores. If your dog has a meat-heavy diet, you'll want to gradually adjust its microbiome to a plant-based one. Fun and games. A zero or low-waste lifestyle for your pet is more doable than you think. Look for toys made from upcycled materials like denim or rope and consumable chew toys. Invest in durable leashes, harnesses, and collars. Check out brands like Wanderruff, which makes them out of recycled consumer plastic. And tell your local pet store how much you prefer plastic-free goods. As with human wear, supporting local companies saves emissions, and do-it-yourself is always the most climate-friendly option. Remember, pets aren't fussy, so get creative with leftover rope, cloth, and cardboard. Shawl says that your feline doesn't need a fancy cat condo. Your bookshelf is just as stimulating. And your dog doesn't need to travel great distances to Insta-worthy dog beaches and trails. As long as dogs are getting out regularly and enjoying oral factory stimulation, nearby fields and parks make for epic outings. Do wildlife and plant ecosystems a favor by keeping dogs on a leash in all but designated off-leash areas. If your cat enjoys the great outdoors, consider a catio, which keeps your puss from wreaking havoc on birds and small mammals, potentially passing on deadly pathogens via its feces. Beautifying your pet. Check for shampoos and other grooming products that are free from unnecessary chemicals, artificial dyes, and fragrances, parabens, sulfates, and mineral oils. Do-it-yourself salves or options from Green Groom and Buddy Wash are better for both planet and pet. When nature calls, all that food has to end up somewhere. America's pets produce over 5 million tons of feces a year, more than that of 90 million Americans. When cleaning your yard, scoop the poop in trash bags you're already using. Better yet, consider flushing your dog's waste down the toilet, but never your cat's. Toxoplasma, a parasite found in cat feces, can infest marine life. You can also compost dog waste. Shawl says that you'll need a mix of nitrogen-rich materials like food waste and grass cuttings, and carbon-rich materials like sawdust or leaves. For cats, avoid kitty litter containing bentonite clay, which comes from strip mines, and look into biodegradable options like Yesterday's News by Purina and Cedarific by Nepco. If you must use puppy pee pads, get machine washable ones. Saying goodbye. We all hate to think about our pet dying, but a little advanced planning can soften the heavy eco punch of pet internment. Look into biodegradable caskets and urns. Passages International makes them from willow, mulberry bark, and recycled cardboard. Cremation is generally safer and more sustainable than burial. Backyard burial is illegal in some states and can pose dangers to animals that may scavenge your pet's body. Diseases and lingering euthanasia drugs can be passed on this way. Honor your departed pet's legacy by donating used toys, bowls, and bedding to your local shelter. But first check to make sure it accepts them. Now we'll move on to catster.com. Start with a short article titled Learn About Cat Health by Jackie Brown. Feline health research helps our beloved cat companions live long and healthy lives. In my 20-plus years working in the pet industry, I've been some incredible breakthroughs. For example, FIP, feline infectious peritonitis, was once considered a death sentence. But now, thanks to the tireless work of veterinary researchers, there is finally hope with effective treatments. In fact, a rescue I volunteer for has successfully treated a cat for FIP, and he's now healthy and happy in his forever home. And that is solely the result of research funded by the Every Cat Health Foundation. Every Cat, formerly known as WIN Feline Foundation, is the world's only nonprofit focused exclusively on feline health. Since 1968, it has awarded over $8 million in grants for groundbreaking research for cats at more than 30 partner institutions worldwide. This funding is made possible through the support of dedicated donors and partners. Research supported by Every Cat Health Foundation helps veterinarians by providing educational resources that improve treatment of feline health problems and prevent many diseases. Grants are awarded at least twice yearly with the help of the foundation's expert review panel. Next, we'll move on to an article by Catherine Holm titled, How to Pick Furniture That Cats Won't Scratch. We ask furniture professionals to pick fabrics and furnitures that cats won't scratch. Here's what they said. Savvy cat guardians know that to stop cats from scratching furniture, one must provide correct stimulation and alternatives for scratching. Cats love well-designed scratching posts, and the placement of such alternatives to furniture can make all the difference. I've done this, and my cats don't seem to bother my new furniture at all. Cats are also clever about finding alternatives to scratching posts. My female Jamie loves to sharpen her claws on the plastic non-skid base for the cat water bowls. It has little stubs that are just stiff enough to provide the texture that she likes. What if we took the concept in the opposite direction? Can you pick furniture that cats won't scratch? Specifically, I wondered whether furniture containing more hard surfaces would do this, or furniture whose fabric has no nap or obvious texture. There's also microfiber. My husband and I bought a microfiber couch, and the cats show no interest in it. I asked several furniture experts and got lots of ideas. Responses varied and some contradicted each other. Regardless, you will probably get some ideas for what to try. Cats won't want to scratch furniture with full upholstery and recessed legs. Sean Juneya, co-founder and CEO of DecorAid, offers this tip. Look for fully upholstered pieces with wood or metal recessed legs. The best fabrics are ultra suede and leather because a cat cannot claw into these, Juneya said. Avoid fabrics that snag easily, such as tweeds. It's also difficult to remove pet hair from these types of textured fabrics. As why full upholstery is important, Juneya says it keeps cats from clawing from any wood on the furniture. While most cats prefer something they can shred, there are cats who prefer wood, Juneya said, and recessed legs are not accessible because they are hidden and smaller. Cat owners should choose furniture that holds its wear well. Chandler Elmore of Cooney Furniture had similar advice on choosing furniture that holds its wear well, although he was less positive about leather. The more a piece has of glass, metalwork, and wood, it will bear much better than leathers and suedes, which are typically decent materials. He pointed out that the absolute worst materials for furniture include chenille, velvet, wool, linen, silk, and tweed. Another expert advocates for leather, thin rugs, and cat furniture. Donna R. Beatman of Magnolia Brook said she gets many questions about cats and furniture, and that while each cat is different, she offers these guidelines. 1. Cats in general don't seem to like leather as much as other materials. Leather is easy to clean and maintain, so it's always a safe bet. R. Beatman suggested applying scratch guard to the leather. 2. Shaggy and jute rugs are perfect playground for cats to trim their nails on and have fun, so stick with thinner rugs with less hair. 3. Provide your cats with cat posts and a cat bed nearby. When cats have their own furniture, they will be less inclined to ruin yours. Cat parents should pick chenille versus microfiber. Mike McCann of Wholesale Barstool Club says thin microfibers, which are often the least expensive items, are easily torn up by cats with claws. Microfibers are meant to be easily cleaned of stains and spills, not endure punctures or last for extended periods of time, McCann said. He said he believes that with cats, a chenille fabric is best. It's more durable and will withstand more abuse from animals. It may be a little harder to clean, but it will outlast the cheaper microfiber product. When it comes to furniture, cat owners should keep it simple. Finally, Tamal Pays Nature Works recommends modular furniture made of wood and steel joinery. William Callahan calls it the world's healthiest and easiest to maintain furniture for people and pets. If a kitty or dog destroys a table leg, just put a new one in its place, Callahan said. None of this furniture is upholstered, making it easy to clean and repair. The bottom line on furniture that cats won't scratch. Not every piece of advice will work in every situation. Most furniture professionals had many ideas, including some that contradicted. We know that cats vary too. Some cats might claw leather, some might not. Now we'll move on to Dogster Magazine. And we'll start with an article titled 9 Beach Rules for Cool Dogs by John Shuey and the Fun with Fido section of Dogster Magazine. Soft sand under paws, ocean breeze in the air, new sights, sounds, and scents. No wonder dogs love the beach. But the beach doesn't always love them. There are plenty of pitfalls that can ruin a great day on the shore. However, if you keep these 9 simple rules in mind, beach day will be the highlight of your pup's summer. 1. Know before you go. Off-leash rules vary, so consult government agencies or local tourism bureaus when you plan your play day. Google off-leash beaches for any coastal state to find a variety of information-packed websites. Some states, California and Florida, for example, offer lots of designated dog beaches, some with fenced dog park sections. In a few places, like Oregon, dogs are allowed off-leash on almost all beaches, but in such places, as Oregon law states, they must be under direct control with insight and responsive to commands. Direct control is always crucial when pups are off-leash, and that leads us to beach rule number 2. Number 2, perfect recall. No ifs and or buts. When we run dogs off-leash, they must obey recall to keep them out of mischief and danger. Amid crashing waves and whistling winds, your dog may not hear a verbal cue. Under such conditions, keep them close, or train your dog to recall to a whistle and even a hand signal. 3. Don't drink the water. Salt poisoning from seawater is a significant threat to beach-loving dogs, so toss the tennis ball down the sand, not out into the surf, and rinse it often with fresh water. Carry plenty of drinking water and provide frequent water breaks so your pup isn't tempted to try sating her thirst with seawater. Also, the marine algae that causes so-called red tides are poisonous to dogs, so always avoid the beach when those toxic algae blooms occur. Number 4. Knee-deep only. Even if your dog loves to swim, save her pool time for fresh water. Salt poisoning from ingesting seawater is dangerous. Strong currents and powerful breaking waves can overwhelm even the best four-legged swimmers, and some surf zones are home to stingrays and dangerous jellyfish. Let your dog romp in the shallows, but no farther, and stay well back from the surf line during periods of storm-driven waves and extreme tidal fluctuations. If your dog might be tempted to dip more paws in the water, outfit her with a safety flotation vest. 5. Keep them clean. Pack waste bags. Bag dispensers are common at beach parking lots, but don't count on it. But do count on other beachgoers being justifiably upset if they step in dog poop. And speaking of clean, when beach day is over, brush your pup thoroughly and check ears and eyes for sand and debris. 6. No seafood. Recall, or a leave it, or no cue, is critical to protecting dogs from washed up dead and dying sea creatures, such as crabs, fish, sea stars, mussels, and even birds. Sampling the seafood buffet can cause serious bacterial or parasitic infections, and both seasonally and regionally shellfish can be infected with dangerous toxins. Moreover, certain species of jellyfish and other marine creatures, such as Velella jellyfish on the West Coast, occasionally wash ashore en masse, making many beaches unsuitable for dogs who might eat or roll in the decaying creatures. Call ahead to check on any such strandings. 7. Chase the ball, not the birds. Beach birds, gulls, terns, sandpipers, and more, are all protected species, making them big no-nos for curious pups. So rein in your dogs when the birds catch his attention, and be especially mindful about the allure of birds to sporting breeds. Marine mammals are also protected, and on many coastlines, seal pups rest on beaches while seal mums hunt for food offshore. Heed all sightings and announce enclosures to protect wildlife. 8. Dawn patrol. By far the best time to hit the beach with Fido is first thing in the morning, and not just for those memorable beach sunrises. Even popular tourist beaches are frequently devoid of humans in the early morning, making this the perfect pooch time. Moreover, the dawn patrol alleviates worries over warm weather, hot sand, and too much bright sunlight. 9. Too much of a good thing. Unless your dog is a well-conditioned canine athlete, go easy on the beach romp, especially in warm weather. On the other hand, a lengthy session on the beach is perfect for those hyperactive breeds that get and need plenty of exercise. After all, a tired dog is an easy dog, and if you follow the beach rules, your pup will come home happy, healthy, and ready to curl up and dream about the sand and surf and good times. Next, we'll move on to an article on the Chew on This, the mind and body section of Dogster, Eating for Good Skin and Coat by Arden Moore. Sure, your loving dog may sport a huge heart in terms of sweetness, but his skin reigns supreme size-wise. The skin represents up to 1/4 of his total body weight, a fact that may drive home a greater need to pay attention to what you're putting into your canine pal's food bowl. Nutrition plays an important role in the health of skin and other organs, says Dr. Joseph Bartiges, a professor of veterinary medicine and nutrition at the University of Georgia in Athens. Often a sign of inadequate or improper nutrition is a change in the quality of the skin and coat. You may notice that it is now dry or flaky or oily or see bald spots because hair is not growing back. What goes in the bowl? The food you select has everything to do with your dog's skin and coat quality, says Dr. Jean Hofe, a holistic veterinarian and author from Jamestown, Colorado. Dogs need quality proteins that come from real meats, not meat byproducts, as well as antioxidants that are also good for the skin because they are anti-inflammatory. There are many commercial dog diets available, and selecting quality ones to feed your dog can be daunting. Keep in mind that to satisfy recommendations set by the American College of Veterinary Nutrition, quality commercial dog food meets the 5 standards. 1. Complete. It contains all required nutrients. 2. Balanced. All the nutrients are in proper proportions. 3. Palatable. It features a welcome taste that your dog will eat in sufficient amounts to keep his body at a healthy condition. 5. 4. Digestible. All the ingredients can be absorbed into your dog's body for use. and 5, safe. The ingredients are free from nutrient deficiencies, excesses, or imbalances, are free from toxins, and are free from microbial contamination or spoilage. In general, a dog with naturally healthy skin can be expected to continue to do just fine on any nutritionally complete diet without any type of supplementation. This is Dr. Joe Myers, a veterinarian in Salida, Colorado, who consults on diet and nutrition for pets as a veterinary expert with JustAnswer.com. A dog with a skin disease, however, may require supplements to optimize his skin health. Definitely consult your veterinarian to help select the appropriate supplements your dog may need based on his age, health condition, and breed. Other experts offer these tips to help your dog sport a healthy coat. Learn the doggy alphabet diet. Bolster your dog's skin and overall health by making sure his chow or supplements contains adequate amounts of a pair of omega-3 fatty acids, chemically known as eicosapatonic acid, EPA, and doxycycline acid, DHA. Nutritious sources of these omega-3 fatty acids include eggs, salmon, fish oils, flax seeds, and chia seeds. Dish up omega-6 fatty acids in your dog's food. Dogs need omega-6 fatty acids to keep skin hydrated and serve as a protective barrier, but they are not able to produce them on their own. Dogs lacking enough omega-6 fatty acids in their diet can be at risk for a variety of skin issues, as well as a weakened immune system. Healthy sources of omega-6 fatty acids can be found in chicken, as well as sunflower, soybean, and canola oils. Don't feed into the hype on the internet. Certain oils may score popularity points, but they might not be the best choice for your dog. Regarding the use of coconut oil as a supplement for your dog, Dr. Meyer says, although it's popular, there is no scientific evidence to back up any health benefit claims for dogs. She conditions that feeding your dog excessive amounts of coconut oil can trigger diarrhea and pack on extra pounds. Top your dog's dry food on occasion with skin-fortifying yummies. They include blueberries loaded with antioxidants, carrots for a tasty vitamin A boost, sardines and water for a lip-drooling source of omega-3 fatty acids, and green beans packed with fiber, calcium, and vitamins A, B, C, and K. Good nutrition. By being proactive and watching any changes in your dog's weight, skin quality, or appetite, you can play a vital role in his overall health and possibly address conditions like diabetes, hypothyroidism, or kidney disease in their early stages. And by selecting quality ingredients, you may help your dog avoid reactions to food allergies and their accompanying signs, such as persistent scratching, skin bumps, bald spots, or dull-looking coat, as well as chronic vomiting or diarrhea. Nutrition is hard, Dr. Myers says. It's a complicated subject, so you definitely need professional guidance from your veterinarian to avoid wasting money on supplements that your dog may not need or that may actually do more harm than good. Next, we'll move on to Miss Manners. Mealtime Etiquette Helpful Hints by Victoria Stillwell. My Chihuahua Jasmine has developed a strange ritual at mealtimes. She is not a morning eater and prefers to have her meal in the late afternoon, while my other dog, Bella, would love it if she could eat all day. Jasmine eats on an ottoman next to her favorite chair because she generally feels more comfortable being elevated on a piece of furniture than eating on the ground. This has nothing to do with her wanting to exert dominance over Bella. She just feels happier being higher up. The world can be overwhelming when you're small. Being elevated makes her feel safe, and she can look out the window and watch the world go by from the comfort of her own chair. During mealtimes, Jasmine will wait to eat her food until Bella has finished eating hers. I feed them both separately, Jasmine on her ottoman in the family room and Bella in the utility room just off the kitchen, because I'm a great believer that however well dogs and multi-dog households get on with each other, they should have space at mealtimes. Bella appreciates eating by herself, but Jasmine will not touch her food until Bella has finished and walked over to the ottoman. I should also mention that Jasmine is a resource guarder. She has a tendency to guard locations, toys, and food bowls, and I do think that this tendency plays a part in the ritual. Waiting for Bella to walk over makes Jasmine's food even more valuable and worth defending. On the other hand, she might not feel safe enough to eat her food until she can actually keep an eye on Bella as she eats. I tested this theory by putting Bella in another room entirely because my utility room leads into the family room, but Jasmine would still wait for her to come back and stand near the ottoman before she touched her food. Helpful eating hints. Dogs develop rituals around many things, including food, because rituals are comforting and predictable, particularly in multi-dog households. 1. All dogs need to feel safe when eating, so I encourage my clients to either stay in the room while their dogs eat or feed them in separate locations. 2. The same goes for feeling safe during chew time. Schedule a time and place where dogs can chew on a toy or bully stick to allow each dog to decompress and enjoy some time alone. This helps to minimize squabbles and ensures every dog feels safe doing an enriching activity. 3. If your dog is eating too fast, use a slow feeding bowl or ditch the bowl and feed a few meals through interactive toys instead. You can also try hiding food in your house or backyard and sending your dog off to hunt for her meal. I do not recommend doing this if you have a multi-dog household unless all dogs can search separately. Encouraging your dog to forage for food means she gets valuable enrichment and takes in food more slowly. 4. Pay attention to when you feed your dog. Even though Jasmine prefers to eat once a day with a small snack in the evening, most dogs do better being fed twice a day so they do not get so hungry between meals. Feeding on a consistent schedule also helps to regulate toilet breaks and prevent accidents. And finally, let dogs eat. I never stick my hand in the dog's bowl when they are eating and do not even get close to their eating area unless I'm working with puppies and dogs to prevent resource guarding issues. Possession is 9/10 of the law for most social animals, and just as you would hate it if your dog stuck his snout into your plate, the same is true for your dog if you were to put your hand in his. While eating is an enjoyable social activity for people, it can cause tension between dogs. Take time to understand your dog's habits and make a plan to encourage healthy eating. Food helps build bonds between dogs and people, but it can also cause issues. Even though Jasmine trusts me completely, I understand that food makes her a little tense. So I take steps to ensure she is comfortable at mealtimes by managing her environment and taking both my dog's different needs into account. So this was Victoria Stilwell wrote this article. She's a world-renowned dog trainer and TV personality and is best known as the star of the TV series It's Me or the Dog, and as the author of the best-selling books, including 2019's The Ultimate Guide to Raising a Puppy. Appearing frequently in the media, she's widely recognized as a leader in the field of animal behavior, is editor-in-chief of Positively.com, CEO of the VSPDT Network of Licensed Trainers, and the founder of the Victoria Stilwell Academy for Dog Training and Behavior, the leader in dog trainer activities. You can connect with her on Facebook or Twitter at Victoria S. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.